Which were the most important families in Los Angeles before the war?
To me, it's my father. I told everybody, I said, maybe most of them have more money than my father, but my father is the kind of father that wants their children to be good. Instead, as soon as they grow older, they all left home because he was too strict. Because he wants an education, he wants cleanliness, he's an herbalist. He wasn't a rich man. But I think my father's very, very interesting. To me, at that age, only 11, I know I was only 11 years old when he passed away. Because I was kind of full grown already when 11, because he kind of made me grow up, you know.
I thought I remember last time you mentioned you were about 17 when he passed away.
Oh, no.
Was that your mother?
My mother.
You were about 17.
My mother, yeah, my mother. It's my mother. My father died when I was very young. Because I remembered how this... distinctly, he said, I have to go to Chinese school, you know. It was, no, my mother was 17 years old, not quite, I must be a little bit older than 17, my mother died, 17 or 18.
Did your father die of some sickness?
To tell you, I don't remember, but I can see, you know how distinctly I remember I was in grammar school. My brother Bruce and I came home from grammar school. He was to school. We walked in this school that time. From grammar school, he passed away at the same herbalist store down in Chinatown. So I was going to grammar school. And I also skipped grade 2, so I was only 11 years old. I couldn't call myself smart in grammar school. I skipped from the fourth grade. I skipped the fourth to the fifth grade, the eighth grade, and the sixth grade to the seventh grade. I skipped grade. At that time, you can skip grade. I think I keep on telling people, maybe I was teacher's pet. I said, how can she push me up, you know? So that's how I know I was in grammar school. I remember it was such a long time ago. I know I was in grammar school when my father passed away.
Do you know what your mother passed away from?
My mother died of a heart ailment, and it was so sad. It was so pathetic. When she eats, she chokes, you know. And I know she had heart trouble because I tried to hire the best heart specialist. And I changed doctor. Couldn't do much for her. It's sad case. My mother was very, it was sad. It was very sad. It was hard on me too because I have to pay for all her expenses, her doctor bills and her funeral expenses. And even after she died, I had to pay on an installment plan, pay off her funeral expense, a doctor. I thought the doctor would be more of a human heart when I have to work so hard. And they still, even in death, they just keep on sending you bills, you know that? Too bad they don't have Medicare then, you know. So I have to pay for all her bills and for her funeral arrangement and her doctor bill. And I had to go and work and pay for her, you know, when she died. After that, I got married. After a couple of years or so, I got married, you know. I really should go back to school. When I worked at iMagnus, they didn't want to send me back to school, you know, and to further my education. But in a sense, I wished I did. But then I got married, you know. So that's the story of my life. Very interesting. I still say my father's very interesting. I know what you say. I don't care what anybody asks me. I remember my father's thinking that he is so strict that he got everybody out of the house. And he got my sister on the day of her marriage. My sister Elsie is the funniest thing. On the day of her marriage to this man, Lolo, everything ready to get her married the next day. Firecrackers already. Banquet already, the lycee, you know, the gift to my father, you know, you have to pay so much lycee, you know, for my sister. The next day she ran to San Francisco to a home. She instead of marrying the man my father wanted her to marry, she married the man of her choice, so she wouldn't come home. I remember I was so young, my father would not leave me at home with my mother. He dragged me to San Francisco to try to get her back. So he won't lose face, you know, because he had to give back everything to that man, you know, the money, and give face to the banquet, to the Wong Association, and all that thing. I know, after my mother told me all that, she was so embarrassed that she could do all that.
Was your father very angry with your sister?
Oh, he was angry. After that, he was sitting in my door. He won't let anybody... My brother cannot even enter my room. He sit there. Nobody can go near this daughter of mine because she ran away. I was only a kid.
So he was very protective of you?
Very protective. This one daughter, he said, nobody's going to touch this daughter of mine. That's what he said. That's why I find my father very interesting. I didn't care, you know, because I was so young. It didn't matter, you know. But it was, I find him very interesting. I think it's a shame that I didn't keep all his letters that all the people he cured, you know, of his good herbs he gave, because he studied in China, all these herbs things. And he's well read in Chinese. It's just too bad I didn't keep anything, because at that time I was too young to care. I wish I didn't, because it's such a, it's so interesting to keep all that stuff now, you know, just look back at things, isn't it though?
Mm-hmm. How about any other interesting families or individuals in LA besides your father?
Besides my father? Well, I think George Lem is interesting because he was uptown, and he was a very intellectual man, I say, because he did do a lot for the Chinese people in Chinatown. He did discover that home telephone. He did for Lucky Baldwin, you know, make them cut off their queues. He was very looked up by the Caucasian people. He was very knowledgeable because he educated himself too. And I don't know what other family you have interviewed, so many already. I think you've got mostly everybody that I know of, you know. But now there's a newer generation of before the Second World War that some of them is over 50 now, so you must get some of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else you could get. Now, who else would I think? You got Ed Lee, you got George Tom would be Tom Leung's family is very interesting family. Tom Leung's family is, you got them already, that's maybe Louise Larson,
mm-hmm.
Tom Leung's family. And then you saw that's George Tom's family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Jung Yip Tong's family. I don't know where they live. They're interesting. They're the old timers too. They're old timers of Los Angeles, Jung Yip Tong. Sin Sa. Jung Yip Tong, Sin Sa, is he? His son is still alive. I should ask Mrs. Lee for his, he lives around here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, close by. You can interview them. They're old timers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, they are really in the First World War, I think. See, the Second World War, there's lots you can interview.
Mm-hmm. I think last time I asked you what you considered to be an average income before World War II, and you said roughly $70 is what you were making at iMagnet.
Yeah, that's what I was making.
Right.
$70.
Now how did that compare with other expenses? How much was used up for food, rent,
I told you,
bills?
The food was so cheap when I went to school. The lunch meal was only 10 cents, you know. And bread was only 10 cents, see. And then I gave my mother $65 for home expense. So I don't know how much she spent for food. That was up to her to take care of the budget. And I only got $5 for spending money, for lunch money. And then the car fare, I forgot, it was the 5 cents or 10 cents, I don't even remember. It was very, and if I don't, I said, I don't know how I could ever live on $70, but I got by for $70 a month.
How do you think the Chinese were affected by the Depression?
Oh, that part I don't know how they took it, but it seems to me there wasn't hardly any depression down in Chinatown in those days.
Why did you have that feel? Do you have that feeling?
Well, they don't seem to gripe about it. I don't remember that part. See, that was. Well, you're asking me a question that I really don't know too well because I was too young to pay any attention to that, you know. But there were times when I was pregnant with my son, I was very poor, and my poor dentist, you know, when you have a baby, you know what happened? You lose the teeth when you have a baby. My husband, he was sick, he had thyroid trouble. Then I have to go work and support him too. Well, my dress was a black dress. It looked so sharp worn that my poor doctor, he didn't even take my money for it. Filling my teeth. I haven't forgotten his name. He was so nice. And I really appreciate you for doing all these things for me. And at that time, when you have a baby, you know how much it costs to have my son? $50.
That included how many days in the hospital?
Oh, it was about, that was quite a while. I forgot about my son, but my daughter was, she came quite a few years, and hers was $75. So I keep on laughing, and how much it costs now to deliver, have a baby? $500 for the doctor's fee, or $300, or $400. All depends who you go. You go to a specialist, cost you $500.
Mm-hmm.
And between your doctor bill and your hospital bill, it costs about over $1,000 or more to have a baby now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. I think my life is interesting, too, because how you have to work and support everybody, support your parents. I respected my parents, and my children respected me too, you know. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Of course, I miss my mother very much. But if she lived now, she'd be over 100 years old, I believe. She died when she was 62 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite young, you know, for nowadays. The span of life to be 125. Did you know that?
Hmm?
The span of life supposed to be 125. Who would live 125?
Yeah.
Huh?
A bit high.
A bit high, isn't it?
Did you ever face any hostility in L.A. or discrimination against Chinese?
Oh, yes, I did. During the Second World War, this is interesting, too. We have to wear badges to prove that we're Chinese. China, a badge. During the Second World War, they were fighting in the Second World War. We went to a place called a chicken house on Washington Boulevard. And they pushed us in the corner. That I was very mad, the hostility. That was very mad by the Caucasian people. I was pushed into a corner. And we sat there for a long time. No one came to wait it on us. I got so mad. I am the kind that I'm not going to be pushed around because I am born here and we do pay for taxes. We pay for property tax. We pay for all the taxes here. And so I went up to them. I said, when are you going to come and wait on us? Oh, they say, wait a minute. All the girls are busy. I said, why are you treating us like that? We have a badge that we are Chinese and we are not Japanese. They say, well, we can't tell the difference. I said, what kind of person are you? I said, do you know that I pay property tax? I pay all kind of tax. I have just as much right of having to wait on first and do not want to be pushed around. That was hostility. That was the only time I remember hostility. Well, that was from the place who owned the place. But the people that were standing in line, some Caucasian people, was very sad. Give it to her, give it to her. Boy, I certainly gave it to him. But my brother-in-law said, oh, leave them. I said, no, I got to put my two bits and tell her off what I think of them. I'm American-born. I'm not going to be pushed around like that. Really, that's the darn truth. I said, I'm not going to be pushed around. Even now, up to now, if I go to a department store, if they look down upon me, I said, I was here first. I want to be waited on first. I'm not going to be pushed around. I just go in there. I'm just as good as any one of you. I have the money to pay for mine. Why should I be pushed around? Now, what do you think?
Did your other friends, or did you know of other people who talked about
the Second
feeling
World
discriminated
War?
Against?
No, I'm the only one still talking about it. I said, boy, I sure tell. What is that chicken house on Washington still there? It's supposed to be a very good chicken house on Washington Boulevard. I forgot the name of it. I was so mad at them. I come out the place screaming my head off. Really, I was mad. You know, this is a good chicken house, you know. We stayed in line for a long, long time. They push us into the corner in a little room and just push us in there and don't come and say anything.
Who pushed you in there?
The waitress.
Oh.
So I come out, talk to the head waitress. I said, why am I treated like this? Well, we can't tell the difference whether you are Japanese or Chinese. So I said, why do you think I wear this badge for? I said, we're Chinese. I said, I'm American-born Chinese. I said, I'm just as good as you are, and I pay taxes. I really give it to them.
Do you think anybody else put up a stink like you did?
No, I don't know. I'm quite aggressive at times, you know. Because I don't want people run over me. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not fighting the war, you know. I'm not fighting the war. I don't even want war.
End of tape 2, side A.